Yes, welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Sam Hart in the hot seat this week, joined alongside my Racing Post colleagues, betting editor Keith Melrose, and a new face and a new voice to those who are listening via the audio platforms, Gary Savage. Gary, welcome to the Postcast. Tell our viewers and our listeners a bit more about yourself.
Hi. Well, I've been at the Racing Post a long time. I do quite a bit of race day live texting, and I've tipped in the paper a couple of times. So, you know, I've got a deep interest in the game.
Yeah, well, let's hope that Gary can pick us out a few winners this week. Keith, it's a big meeting at Ayr. Obviously, the Ayr Gold Cup, and we had to have a Scotsman on the preview, didn't we?
Well, you would go for that one, wouldn't you? It's a nice, easy one for Gary to kick off with, really, isn't it? You know, nice, easy week to come in with the Ayr Silver Cup and Gold Cup. And there's actually loads of competitive handicaps that aren't even on ITV this weekend. So it's going to be a tough one to solve. But, you know, it's one of those weekends where if you get just one winner, it'll probably pay for the lot.
Yeah, absolutely. You could find there are plenty of prices from the gents this week as well. We've got five races from Ayr to get through, four from Newbury, and then we'll get the gents' bets elsewhere as well as their naps for the weekend. And Ayr is where we kick off with the 115 there, which is the 1 mile Virgin Bet Daily Price Boost Handicap, a Class 2 event. Tyson Rock tops the market 11-2, Isla Kai 6-1, Judgment Call 8-1, Revich is 10-1, 12-1 about Diamond on the Hill and Koi Koi, and also Red Arna and 14s and bigger about the other three in here. Gary, it's your debut, you can kick things off.
Red Arna. Love Red Arna. Been following it for a long time. Used to love soft ground, so hopefully, if it does come up, it'll cope with it, because it seems now to like pretty much anything. But it loves air, and although it's you know, it's quite highly rated at the moment for an eight-year-old, it last year it was beaten three quarters of a length by Revich. It was fourth, I think, and it's £4 better off despite winning last time. It's, you know, it's coming back to form. It loves the course, it loves the trip, so at the prices. I do like Revich as well, who's also better off with Koi Koi for last year. But it's got to be Red Arna for me.
Okay, Red Arna for Gary. Yeah, course and distance winner as well as Revich, course and distance winner in here. Yeah. But yeah, Red Arna 12-1 currently. Keith, who are you with in the opener?
Well, the way Gary started, I thought he was going to go for Revich, who's the horse I've come down on here. Horse with a great record in this race. You know, won it in 2021. Only a half length third last year of the same mark he runs off here. I quite fancied him in the Golden Mile last time at Goodwood. Didn't go his way at all, that, and he tailed in last. But this is more his sort of race, really. He has got a good record in softer ground. At Ayr, he's only run three times. The win and the third I've talked about, and the other time it was over a mile or two, which he didn't stay. To be honest, a mile's his maximum. And I just thought the price is, again, a horse that's coming back. We're getting to the time of year where horses that come back to these conditions year after year, they come and get their ground again. Although it's probably not going to be as soft as we might assume, unless more rain than forecast comes. But, you know, we're getting to that time of year where horses from last autumn are getting their conditions again. We're going to see a lot of horses talked about this in the next hour or so that are coming back and have probably just been aimed at this time of year again. And Revich might be the first one.
Okay, Revich for Keith and Red Arna for Gary. Moving swiftly on then to the 150 at Ayr. It's the Virgin Bet Daily Extra Places Doonside Cup Stakes, a listed contest over 10 furlongs there at Ayr. My Prospero is currently the 11-8 best price favourite. Royal Rhyme is 7-2. Pride of America is 13-2. Helvic Dream is 15-2. 14s bar these. A listed contest to get stuck into, Keith. Who do you like in this?
Well, it looks like a bit of a race of name recognition. A bit. My Prospero has that big name. You know, he's only beaten a half length in the Champion Stakes last year, and he's maybe been a little bit disappointing this year. The RPRs of 117, 115, 120 don't scream disappointment. But this horse was expected to kick on and do big things this year. I've put him up for the lock-in with the caveat that he might not quite find a mile a bit too sharp, and so it proved. But he's not gone on from that as you might have hoped. Royal Rhyme looked a really good horse to me when he won at Goodwood. You know, that was a good 3-year-old handicap at the Glorious Meeting. it just looked a different species to them, to be quite honest. Was not stopping at the line either. And I think if you covered the trainer up on the race card, you'd guess this was Roger Varian. This isn't being campaigned like a Carl Burke horse, you know, that slowly approach of a middle distance type horse that's going to go on to group twos and group ones. But Carl Burke is equally as good a trainer as Roger Varian, a fantastic trainer that maybe even doesn't quite get the recognition he deserves, even so. But this Royal Rhyme could be bound for the top for me, so I'm going to take on my Prospero with him.
Okay, Royal Rhyme for Keith. Yeah, Tom Siegel put up in the Ante Post Prize-wise for Champions Day. Royal Rhyme for the Champion Stakes obviously feels he has plenty of improvement to come. Gary, who do you like in this one?
I like the Fav, to be honest. I think he's, you know, he's a proper Group 1 horse. He doesn't win that much, but I don't know if he'll... Obviously, Royal Rhyme is a danger. If it rains, then I'd see Royal Rhyme and even Pride of America as, you know, bigger dangers. But if it stays good ground, I think he probably will win. I see he's 20-1 for the Champion Stakes at the moment, which seems quite generous considering how close he went last year. And this will be an ideal stepping stone, like they did with Adabe a couple of years ago.
Yes,
certainly. You know, I wouldn't bet it at 5-4, but, you know, I think he might well be too good.
Okay, Gary thinks the favourite might be too good in the 150 there at Ayr. Let's move on to the first of what's kind of like a very competitive handicap here, which is the Virgin Bet Ayr Silver Cup. Over 6 furlongs, comes at 2.25 there at Ayr. And Rathbone is the 7-1 favourite here. Jump the Gun is 15-2. Gulliver is 10-1, along with Wob Wob Wob. 12-1 about Dan Zan and Call Me Ginger. 14s bar these. Gary, your turn to go first. Who do you like here?
I love the race, by the way. I had the Exacta a few years ago. Absolutely massive prices. 33s and 25s.
There we go. Let's try and do the same then, Gary.
But, yeah, basically they were on the wrong side. That was the key. The market had decided one side was favoured and there were two, I fancy, were on the other side. So that was as simple as that. You know, sometimes that works, doesn't it? The weather's going to be key again. I mean, I just noticed that there was a rain front getting quite close today, which wasn't particularly scheduled. So, you know, it could change quite quickly, couldn't it? If it doesn't, I quite fancy Admiral D, a massive price, just because he ran a good race last year in the Gold Cup. He's £10 lower. He's a terrible sort of cliff horse, but often at, you know, quite short prices. He seemed to be a big talking horse when he came from Ireland. But he's £10 lower than when he was fifth, I think, in the Gold Cup last, or seventh. He was, you know, he ran really well. And he's 33-1. So at that price, I thought he was worth a little go, as he obviously likes course and distance. And then I can see the money has come for Jump the Gun, who again is £10 lower than when unlucky in this race last year. Probably been aimed at it. Hasn't run great, obviously, which is why he's £10 lower. But, you know, this sort of prize for this sort of horse is obviously worth aiming at. Yeah, those would be my two at the moment. Okay. Unless if it rains, then I quite fancy Wob Wob Wob.
Okay. Admiral D, 33-1 currently. 15-2 about Jump the Gun. They might be the two for the Exacta for Gary come Saturday. Keith, can you pick us out an Exacta here?
Exacta, well, wouldn't we be loving that? But you know what? I'm not going to pick you one either because I can't do that in this race. You know, it's I'm going to sort of offer three because I'm not arrogant enough to think I'm getting off of, you know, tri-casts and whatever. But you do want to have loads of horses. There's so many interesting horses. Gary pointed out some that had been laid out for this race. I could name another six. That's the sort of race that we're looking at here. I'm going to give sort of one low, one middle and one high. Woven's in nine. He was second in this race last year, beaten only by Dusky Lord, whose head's blown this year. But at the time, he looked a really exciting horse. Woven was second in that race. He went on to beat Aberama Gold on soft ground at Doncaster in May. And since then, I suspect it's been all about coming back to the autumn in general in his softer ground, but moreover to Ayr, where, you know, he has that bit of a score to settle, having basically caught a tartar in this very race last year. The high one, Kevin Ryan could have a good day here. Bergerac has got a load of good form going back. He's had the look of a horse that's been getting lined up for something big this season and just missed out on the Gold Cup. I think he's top of this one. And just looks like a horse that's he's very well handicapped, got a lot going for him, and I thought 28s is a big price about him. But there I looked and saw that a Kevin Ryan horse that I really like the look of is only the next price in 25s as we're recording this, and that's Dream for Gold, drawn basically in the middle in stall 14. 3-year-old that's been on the up all year, really. First caught my eye at Epsom in July, hated every minute of it, couldn't have hated Epsom more. And he finished a half length second to Indian Creek, where his next start won the big 80 grand final, very valuable final, whatever it's actually worth, at Windsor. And this horse, since he's been second at Newmarket, I thought he chased the winner all the way through in the Great St Wilfrid before finishing seventh there, and he was on the wrong side at York on his last run. There is a slight danger that he either gets caught nowhere or maybe just finds a little bit too warm. But when you're a 3-year-old, you can take that risk of a horse improving. And if I had to just give you one for this race, it would be Dream for Gold.
Okay, Dream for Gold. Yeah, a couple of big prizes there from the gents there. And like I say, it's going to be a weekend where you're better off playing maybe some each-way chances in these big handicaps. We have got the Air Gold Cup to move on to, but before then, we've got the 3 o'clock there, which is the Virgin Bet Best Odds Daily Firth of Clyde. This is a group three, over 6 furlongs for the 2-year-olds. And Rakia tops the market 11-8. We've got Great Generation at 9-2. Dorothy Lawrence is 15-2, along with Navassa Island. Pretty Crystal at 10-1 and 20s, and Bigger the rest. A 2-year-old contest to get stuck into. Keith, is the favourite the right favourite?
Yes, I mean that is the sort of easiest answer to give. He is the right favourite. I mean, I'm not a massive follower of the 2-year-olds. My betting on the 2-year-olds for the autumn will mostly start from the position that it's not a great bunch and you can get most of them beat. So while Rakia is the right favourite, did look quite impressive at Haydock. If I'm betting in the race, I'm inclined to go a little bit further down the betting. And I just look at a horse like Dorothy Lawrence, who talked about Carl Burke earlier. This is far more a Carl Burke horse, isn't it? Out nice and early at 2, finished second in the good listed race at the Yorks Dancy meeting, and just keeps showing how fast she is. She was just beaten off on the Dick Poole Filly Stakes at Salisbury last time, literally beaten on a head bob with Juniper Berries. Got a good ride, to be fair, but still, you run that race without Salisbury's finishing sting, and she wins it quite handily. That is backing up her run when she was fourth in the Lowther. So this isn't just a filly that's turned up once and done it. She is demonstrably at that sort of 100 level that you need to win this sort of race. And in a modest year, it's going to be right up there. So if you want to take on Rakia, I think Dorothy Lawrence is a really solid option to do so.
Okay, Dorothy Lawrence, potentially to take on the favourite. Maybe some punters will like to play the without market in that race there. Gary, do you like the favourite in here?
No, I don't particularly. No, I like Dorothy Lawrence, actually. Mm. An interesting one. But I did notice that in this race, I like this race, I've always sort of kept an eye on this race, there's been winners at 8-1, 11-1, 16-1 twice, 20-1 and 25-1 in the last 8 years. So it really is one to take on the fav. It's often ones that look, you know, exposed and look not quite good enough. And because there's usually Rakia types in it, then they go off at inflated prices. And yeah, Dorothy Lawrence, she's got the 2 top RPRs in the race, but on her last 2 starts. So she's not, you know, she's not over the top in any way, seemingly. And I just think she's a ridiculous each way price, to be honest, especially if it stays relatively quick on top and doesn't become a bog. I also thought Pretty Crystal was interesting. It's just the sort of type of race that Richard Fahey seems to win, with one that looks, you know, had a few runs, beaten in a group three, I think beaten in 2 group threes or something, and then actually is good enough to win one, obviously. So I'd certainly look for a price, but at the current price of Dorothy Lawrence looks outstanding, I think.
Yeah, Dorothy Lawrence, yeah, for the Carl Burks. I mean, they're just absolutely flying. They do every year with their 2-year-olds, and Dorothy Lawrence looks a nice price to take on the favourite with in the 3 o'clock there at Ayr. Let's move on to the highlight on the card, which is the Virgin Bet Ayr Gold Cup Handicap. This comes at 3:35, again, over 6 furlongs, where Orazio is the 8-1 favourite significantly, and Juan Le Pan, along with Summergander, 10-1. Rohan is 11-1. Ali's Dancer, 12-1. Mr. Wagyu and Bielsa are 14-1. 16s and Bigger the rest in here. Gary, you tried to find us the Exacta in the Silver Cup, now try to do it in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, or the trifecta, why not? I think that in the races that we've already seen today, this is obviously Thursday, the pace bias is apparent. You know, there isn't much else. I couldn't find much else to take the race apart with. But I think you want to be on something at the front, hopefully. And again, at a massive price. And on his first run over six furlong, on his 50th start, I like Guido. I think he's a superb. I mean, it's obvious he's a superb horse. He keeps winning. He's got his best seven RPRs this year. So although he's off a, you know, he's off a career high rating, obviously, he's just running as well as ever. William Pyle gets on well with him. I think he's well worth £5, Pyle. And he's also won the mile handicap here in 2022, the second in the seven furlong handicap in 2020 at the meeting. And hopefully he'll have enough speed to go forward. He is a speedy type. So he'll go forward and we'll see if we can possibly get in the frame. But he's 33, so worth a look for me. And then I liked an obvious two in Al-Bashir and Summergand. They're in good form. Mm. They dead heated, obviously, at York. Summergand likes the course. Al-Bashir's only had 12 starts, so he's not, you know, he could still be improving, obviously, as C. Guido. And they both run similar races at the Curragh, where they were both in a right horrible position, wrong side of the course, behind horses, both finished well, obviously still in good form. So, you know, they're probably the biggest of those two I'd back as well.
Okay, Guido, yeah, currently the 33-1 shot with William Pyle on board. There were mentions there for Summergand there, Keith. There's also Mondamej running this weekend. For those who don't know, I'm actually looking after Paul Keeley's house over the next 3 weeks. He's in America, if you haven't seen on social media, but it's the kind of weekend now where you could see both of them running really big.
Potentially so. I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, firstly, Gary's talked about three or four horses there who were never really on my mind, but I can't crowd them either, which tells you a lot about the competitiveness of this race. Mm. But also, the draw was interesting this year. We always have this, you know, ridiculous draw ceremony for the On Gold Cup. But David Carr's on track this year, and he told me they didn't let them pick this year. They just drew them out in order. So Bielsa came out first, and he's in one. Mondamej came out second, he's in two. And it's a real example of the truth being stranger than fiction, because if you were bringing out the banter heuristic here of what you were going to do with this race, you'd put Bielsa right on a rail, and he's over in stall one. And then at the other end of the draw, you'd put your Juan Le Pans, you'd put your Le Quintos, who loves to travel through races, Aratsu, another well-fancied sort, and Rohan, in among a little bit of pace near a rail, and you've got It Just Takes Time in there, who's a pace angle, as well as Mr. Wagyu. So it's just set up like exactly as you'd almost choose it to be for fancying it. So I think in those circumstances, with that pace around him, with him being £8 well in and having finished third in the race last year, I'm sort of expecting Juan Le Pan to go a favourite here. And I think maybe that 10-1 is likely to dry up, because he's just the sort of horse, you know, a horse with that background and a big jumps handicap, you know, £8 well in and third in the race last year, they'd be going off clear favourite. And this Juan Le Pan has just got a lot going for him. He's been running so well recently, you know, placed in a couple of listed races the last twice. And I think I might take some of that tens before it dries up. I do expect that to come in a little bit, but there's so many I could talk about here. I think if I'm coming down on one, maybe it's another massive price one that you can have a look at. A horse called Magical Spirit, who's won the Silver Cup a couple of years ago. And you're asking a lot for a horse that's now seven to go up and win the big one when he's at this age. But absolutely tanked through the race at the Dancing Meeting behind Bielsa. A horse, you know, on ground that his form's always been on softer ground. It was like a road then. And he's absolutely tanked behind Bielsa. Just said this is a horse that's flying. Since then, you know, he's run and probably just got lined up for a year ever since. We've been talking about this all day, haven't we? About these horses that are getting saved for the autumn. And I think Magical Spirit might be one. So he's one I mentioned at a big price. I may even have a little bit on Desert Cop, who I think remains a massive talent. You've got a bit of pace on that far side. Ali Dancer's been on my mind. Another, again, Kevin Ryan yet again, as well as Magical Spirit and everything. He's another one of his. I think they wanted the ground softer for him. Otherwise, I'd have been all over him too, but it's just a race top to bottom. You could take your pick. I expect to see a lot of pace on that near side. I expect to see a lot of interest in those high-drawn horses. I'm probably going to back three or four, I'm perfectly honest, Sam. But the one I'm going to put up for people just to get into maybe is Magical Spirit at a big price.
Okay, Magical Spirit there for Keith. Yeah, really fair price there, around 40-1 currently for the Kevin Ryan stable. Keith's already mentioned that Kevin Ryan could be in for a big weekend. That's it for air. For those who don't know, the Racing Postcast is now brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. You've only got a couple of weeks left to get involved in the summer offer, so check this out.
Are you ready to take your passion for horse racing to the next level? With Racing Post Members Club, you gain exclusive access to the best racing insights, analysis, and tools. Immerse yourself in award-winning content, from interviews with the sport's biggest stars to race previews and behind-the-scenes features. Get the inside track with early access to the Racing Post digital newspaper from 9 p.m. in the evening and daily selections from our expert tipsters. Racing Post Members Club is your ultimate ticket to the thrilling world of racing. Subscribe today and pay just £9.99 per month for the first 2 months with the code SUMMER. See the link in the video description for more information. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Sam Hart, Keith Melrose and Gary Savage taking you through Saturday's action on ITV. We're off to Newbury next, where we kick off with the 1:30 there, which is the 5-furlong Dubai International Airport World Trophy Stakes. This is a Group 3 contest where Sense of Duty tops the market 11-8 for the William Haggis stable. Razzle is 3-1. Nymphadora is 9-2. Thunderbear 8-1. The outsider of the 5 is Designer at 12-1. Keith, the opener at Newbury, who are you going for here?
It's an interesting one. I mean, I wouldn't be amazed if Sense of Duty even came out. You know, we're talking here nearly 48 hours before the race. She's got an entry at Beverly on Tuesday. And I think this filly's just getting a run in before the champion sprint, which appears to be her main aim. She's in that race. She's not run since the Chip Chase last year. She looked a monster then. Anna, who you'll remember from winning last week's Portland, was 4.5 lengths trailing back in second. She made him look a bit of a mug that day. And yeah, so this is her just being out for a run. I hope she does run, because I want to take her on. She's just out for a run to get her ready for the champion's sprint. He picks up a lot of prize money in these small field group and listed races, but they're not his sort of race. We saw the race at Haydock that he won. That's the sort of race he wins. He runs well in these races. He doesn't necessarily win them because he wants a good pace to run at. The bet in this race clearly to me is Nymphadora, who, if O'Sheen Murphy, I've looked at the race, and if O'Sheen Murphy wants a lead, he'll get it. I don't think there's much competition for the lead there. She knows she was very prominent when she beat Silky Wilkie in a listed race at York back in July. And since then, she's had reasonable excuses. You know, she ran in the King George at Goodwood. Highfield Princess won that race. It was a little bit too fast for her, the 5F at Goodwood. And then she's running the Nunthorpe next time. This is much more her level. The horses ahead of her in the market, I think there's reason to think both aren't going to run their very best race here. And the ground, just to say it at Newbury today, is heavy. I always think of this meeting's being run on bad ground, but it's not. It's the last few years, it's always been good ground. It's the sort of October meeting with the Horace Hill, etc., that's always run on bad ground. And Nymphadora's got loads of form on softer ground. You know, she won at Chester in May, beating Kingsland over 5. She can handle these conditions. I just think she really is the bet in this race.
Okay, Nymphadora 9-2 currently. Gary, we were speaking off-air prior to coming on. I know you were very sweet on Nymphadora as well.
Yeah, absolutely. For all those reasons, and most of all because of the the ground, but also the running the Nunthorpe. I just think it's, even though it's down the field, behind among two who were second and third at the Curra and the Flying Five regional. You know, that the winner, the Adam West one, got away. Everything else couldn't quite catch up, but has run well, and she's run a really good race. And I think he's the one. Yeah, Sense of Duty, I don't think is going to be absolutely keyed up for this. The other one that I've actually backed anti-post is Designer, because I could see that the rain was going to come, and she really likes a bit of give. She's got form on heavy ground, and I thought the race would cut up. So I'm on three places, but obviously she's still 12-1, and she still could win it, I think, because I don't think we've seen the best of her. But obviously she doesn't have the level of form of Nymphadora. So maybe a forecast.
Okay, Nymphadora seems like a strong fancy for both the gents there in the opener at Newbury. Let's move on then to the 205 there, which is a staying handicap over a mile and six furlongs. It's the Dubai Duty Free Autumn Cup handicap, a Class 2 event where Valsad is the 11-4 favourite. Laffy and Sea King 5-1. Salt Bay is 13-2. One for the Gutter 7-1. Not So Sleepy is 10s. And Get Shirty is 12-1. Gary, who did you like in this handicap?
Well, there's only one for me in this, and that is Not So Sleepy. I think he's 10-1, which seems absolutely crazy. He'll like the ground. And in his autumn flat runs, in his comeback runs, he won a handicap at Pontefract of 94, second in a Doncaster handicap of 99. This is all off a break. And he was third in the Cesarewitch last year off today's marks. So I think he'll be ready. Ashim is booked and has been booked all week. He's also got good Newmarket form. Good Newbury form from earlier on in his career. And I think he's a great bet, to be honest.
Yeah, Not So Sleepy. Oshin Murphy potentially to kick the card off with a double. I was quite sweet on Not So Sleepy as well for this race. Gary, Keith, who did you like in this?
I could definitely be tempted by Not So Sleepy. He was sort of last off the shortlist, really. It's the sort of conditions where his fighting fifth form, for instance, could come in very handy, because not many of these flat horses will have faced really deep conditions like this that often. He was right in there. I'm interested to see if Saltby gets on, who I thought was going to be a group, potentially even a group one horse this year. Hasn't quite worked out for him that way. But the really sort of solid one that I thought I was just going to put up was one for the Gusser, who's got loads of good form on softer ground, just beating a short head in the Mallard last week at Doncaster. And earlier in the season at Ascot on softer ground, beat La Yaquelle, who obviously won at Doncaster himself last week. Third Struth has gone on, finished second at the Shergar Cup. Really good bit of form. Ascot there. He's gone up a little bit in the weight since, but he's a progressive horse. Definitely know he's going to get the trip. And I thought he was really your solid option, but I wouldn't be dismissing Not So Sleepy by any means, but I went one for the Gutter.
Okay, one for the gutter, 7-1 currently for the 205. Moving on now to another handicap, which is the 240 there at Newbury. It's the Dubai Duty Free handicap over 10 furlongs, where Balance Play tops the market at 7-2. Totness is 9-2. Mustard Eid is 13-2. Le Mans is 7-1. Garcy 15-2. Certain Lad 10-1. Toshizu is 14-1. And Millibosk is 16-1. Keith, I was actually at Doncaster last week, and Rafe Beckett had this race already in mind. He was quite sweet talking about Balance Play ahead of this race, and this horse probably will be enjoying this heavy going.
Yeah, he's got form on softer ground, certainly, hasn't he? And when Beckett has a plan, he's normally pretty good at them. You know, he gets put up as this trainer that has all the sort of blue bloods, but he's really good at plotting one up the grades too. So you'd certainly be afraid of that. This is the race that I was probably coolest on of all the races on ITV, to be perfectly honest. I thought Mustazid was one I'd be faintly interested in if the conditions get really extreme. This horse has been second on heavy ground at Doncaster, won over course and distance in soft ground in April there, and has just been generally progressive ever since, really effective at the track. Conditions won't be a problem at all. Has run well. That Doncaster run was under Kaya Fraser, who's a good claiming jockey anyway. I thought Mr. Zim was quite a solid one, but it's not a race where I'm going to get heavily involved.
Okay, not a confident selection for Keith, but Mustard Eid would be the selection if you had to pin one down. Gary, who did you like in the final handicap we're looking at?
Well, I don't only back double figure prices, but I quite like Certain Lad. It's a nasty little race. What I did think was there's hardly any pace, and there's a lot of keen pulling horses in this. When you look through their recent form, it's took keen hold, took keen hold, took keen hold, pretty much all the way down. I think Mustard Eid, right, would, you know, does pull quite hard. Possibly Balance Play might be the most straightforward. Totness, Le Mans, they're all, you know, got that keen going element. And Certain Lad, to be fair, has as well. But he also seems to get home, even when he pulls hard in soft ground, in quite small fields. And he's another of those, like he's been saying, spring horses who are also, you know, who then disappear off the radar and come back in the autumn because they like soft ground. And he's been a non-runner three times on Good to Firm since July. So, you know, they really want to keep him to this type of ground. And he ran a nice race at Sandown last time behind Dual Identity, who was, you know, far too good on the day. But he's beaten everything else in a decent race. So I thought, again, 10 to 1 is okay. Worth a little go, I think.
Certain lad, 10 to 1 in the 240 at Newbury 4. Gary, let's move on to the highlight then at Newbury in the final race that we preview from the ITV card, which is the 315. The 6 furlong Dubai Duty Free Mill Restakes, a Group 2 contest for the 2-year-olds, where Mr. Sketch, recently bought by the Rising Force Watnam Racing, 3 to 1 favourite. 7 Questions is 4 to 1. Array is 5 to 1. Heartem is 11 to 2. Red Zone Hero, last week's winner at Doncaster, 8 to 1. Matters Most is 9 to 1. Spanish Phoenix, 25s. And Roman Emperor is 50 to 1. You can make a case for quite a few of these in here. Gary, who have you landed on?
Well, to be honest, I don't want to land on any of them, quite frankly. It's not the only one I was interested in. It was a non-runner, which was the Richard Hannon filly, who I thought he was going to declare. But it's, I just thought Mr. Sketch has got the most appealing profile, but you know, you can't trust a massive win over, you know, who knows what at Salisbury, I think it was, wasn't it? And they've all seemed to have doubts about the deep round or pedigree. Array Matters Most. So Red Zone Hero, obviously, and 7 Questions were supplemented, and I can see why they would be the two that I'd be most interested in, because they've got soft ground, they're proven in soft ground. Roman Emperor was third to, on his only run, to two who are rated 98 and 94, so that puts him in the picture vaguely, if there's any improvement at all. But you know, he's not bred for either particularly, so I would just about go for the Fav, but with no conviction.
Okay, no real conviction there, but Mr. Sketch for Gary there. Keith, the ones that fascinated me, I mean, Heartem's obviously interesting. We got excited by the form finishing second behind City of Troy at Newmarket, then went out and won the Vintage Stake, beating Iberian, who won at Doncaster last week, and then went on to firm going and got well beaten by Lake Forest at York. Back on much softer conditions, Heartem's got to be of interest, isn't he?
It does. I mean, I think there's been a very hasty reaction to that run in Gimcrack. I think that's fair to say, because before that, he did look like the sort of horse that would go a favourite for a Mill Reef. I can see it for definite, but he's got the same issue that the vast majority of these horses have got. We've talked at length about these horses that come back year on year for autumn races. The 2-year-olds have never done that. They can't. They weren't running this time last year, of course. So this is properly uncharted territory for a lot of these horses, and it's why you'll see some of these funny results in the races to come. The Horace Hill that's coming up here in about a month's time is a race that sticks in the mind as prime for stuff like that. That's always run on bad ground and always tends to turn up a bit of a surprise, or a horse that doesn't really go on to do an awful lot because it's won, it's beaten conditions more than it's beaten its rivals. So you're looking for a horse that maybe does have that bit of potential on the softer ground. There's actually been loads of horses supplemented, 3 supplementary entries for this, 2 of which got declared, 1 didn't, I forget which one. 7 Questions is one of the supplementaries, and obviously finished 3rd behind Task Force in Ripon's 2-year-old trophy, but he was behind Matters Most that day. And yes, people went, well, 7 Questions had to go round the field and Matters Most had the rail and 7 Questions didn't get a clear run, but he's had a chance to show how much better than that he was. He ran at Kempton, improved a pound on RPRs. You know, maybe that impression visually at Ripon isn't justifying him being less than half the price of Matters Most. He's a straightforward horse, got about as good a chance as any when it comes to form. That Ripon runs about just about the best bit of form in the field. Before that, he'd won a nursery off 85, clearly a horse that's going the right way. And he's just one of these horses that's maybe unsexily snuck into the race. And going by the sort of assumption that these 2-year-olds aren't up to an awful lot, you're going to have to hope Mr. Sketch doesn't prove to be as good as he looked at Salisbury. I think you can go for a horse like Matters Most, and yes, like all the rest, he does have the ground issue to overcome. He's out of Squash. She was second in the Bosra Sham in soft grounds in the autumn at Newmarket as a 2-year-old. He's also a half-brother to Haymaker, a horse who might yet skin me. I'll keep backing him. He's got loads and loads of form on softer ground too. So plenty of soft ground form in the pedigree. So as far as that goes, he's got as good a shout as any. So I thought Matters Most at getting on for double figures was a big price.
Okay, yeah, matters most for the Rafe Beckett Yard, 9-1 currently. Best price. My nap's going to come in this race, so I'll save that for the end of the postcast. Now, if you want over £500 in free bets, it's worth checking this out.
Do you want over £500 in free bets? Well, the best free bet offers are now all in one place. Head to racingpost.com/freebets where you can find all the offers from your favourite bookmakers. Click the link in the description to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast. Yes, remember you can check that out, the racingpost.com/freebets page where you can get over £500 in free bets. You join myself, Sam Hart, Keith Melrose and Gary Savage for the final part of the postcast, where right now we're going to discuss any other bets elsewhere from the ITV action. Keith, I'll start with you. What else is there to look forward to this weekend?
Yeah, there's a really interesting race at Newmarket, the 3:25 there. We're back on the Rolling Mile, and it's at Newmarket where Spring Bloom runs a lot of his best races. And he's top weight. I looked at the card, looked at the race card order and thought, Spring Bloom, black and an odds 85 at Newmarket, I'm really interested here. Then I started looking down the field and thought, dear me, this is one of the most competitive odds 85 I've seen in Yogs. So I'm still on the lookout that Spring Bloom might be ignored in the betting. So, you know, we're doing this without the benefit of prices. If Spring Bloom gets put in at 16s, I might avail myself of that pretty quickly. But the one that's most interesting to me in this field is Bacento, who William Buick has decided he wants to get on as well. This horse had been running over 7 furlongs, even a mile, in the spring, and only really had 2 goes back sprinting. Won a maiden at Bath at 1-9. You know, that was just a bit of match practice, really. And then last time at Ascot, finished a length third behind Dark Trooper, who looks set for group races as far as I'm concerned, and coped really, really well with that drop back to sprint distances, I thought, to travel like he did. So I'll be looking out for Bacento. But as I say, it's a very competitive race where prices could swing me one way or t'other. I'm expecting Bacento to be in among the favourites there, and is my mind the likeliest winner. And then there's a race at York, the 4:20, a really competitive race, 5-furlong handicap for horses that they don't think will quite last out in the Air Gold Cup, I think. You know, Proverbs in there, who's again an interesting horse, listed winner at 2, and got all that form of background. I thought he'd run in the Air Gold Cup. He ran at Hamilton, in August, shaped like a horse that was just getting a spin for something bigger. And I thought it might be Air Gold Cup, but it's actually this one. And George Bowie's noticed that this, you know, this is worth $60,000. What's the Air Gold Cup worth? $150,000. And this won't take anything like the winning that the Air Gold Cup would. So maybe that's why he's chosen this route. Although, again, I've got a price-sensitive look at Vintage Clarets too, who's been running really, really well in top races. Travelled well away from the main action in the Portland last week and did well to finish 5th. Just having looked like he was going to be an early two-year-old that went the wrong way until about this point last year, he's really picked it up again and has got loads of form on quite testing ground, been running well in better races. And yeah, I wouldn't want the betting to ignore him, but I'll be watching certainly the way the market goes for Proverb in the 4:20 at York.
Okay, Proverb in the 4:20 at York and Bacento in the 3:25 at Newmarket on Saturday. A couple to look out there from Keith. And Gary, what else have you had a look at this weekend?
Well, I've got one on my radar that absolutely loves soft ground. Rather than putting up with it, it's, you know, it definitely favoured by it. And that's Hodler in the 4:25 at Newbury. It's, he wins plenty of races. Absolutely loves soft ground. He's run 5 times, won twice, been 2nd and 3rd. Never run on heavy ground, actually, but it should be absolutely perfect. He's run a few times this year. He won at Chester in May on soft ground. He's £3 higher, and he's run 3 times on good to soft ground, just because I feel like, you know, he's got to run sometimes, and he's run okay, and Machine's on, and I think, you know, unlike plenty of others who will be putting up with it, he'll definitely be absolutely grabbing it and loving it.
Okay, Hodler, yeah, in the 4:25 at Newbury, yeah, certainly one that we'll be enjoying the softer going. Now let's get into our best bets, our naps for the weekend, gentlemen. I'm actually, since we started these video shows, I'm 2 from 2 with my naps. It's the only selection I give each week, and I've had a St. Ledger double in the last couple of weeks. So I've got to try and keep this run going, and I'm going to take a chance in the Mill Restakes that Red Zone Hero can back up from last week's win at Doncaster. I was really impressed by the way this horse won by 4.5 lengths. I mean, Kingswood Flyer, who was second in that race, was a prior winner to that. And Blue Prince, who was third, actually ran in that hot nursery handicap that we saw at York, that Zulu Chief won. Everything from that race seems to be coming out and winning, including Red Zone Hero. So I do think this horse can go in again on this softer ground. He's going to absolutely relish it. Tom Mark well, booked on board.
I am not from one already, Sam, because I thought the way you talked during the Mill Reef that you were going to put up Hatton for that.
No,
race.
I mean, if I was going to have a Dane, they were the two that I had on my list. But I ended up going down on Red Zone Hero. I think Michael Bell wouldn't have the horse in there if he didn't think the horse could back up after a week. I was very impressed by the display. I'm going to take a chance. I think 8-1's a really fair price about a horse who's going to take another step forward, I'm sure. So 8-1, Red Zone Hero for me in the Mill Reef Stakes coming at 3:15 at Newbury. Go on then, Keith, who are you going to be with?
Oh, I'm very glad you come with me first, because I think Gary might have tried to nip this one off me. We both fancied this horse. My nap is going to be nice and early. Nymphadora in the 1:30 at Newbury.
What?
I'm so sorry, Gary, because I actually knew that this would be your nap.
Go on, Gary,
you can put it up as well. Go on, you can have a joint
well,
nap.
I think at the price, it's not going to go off 5-1, is it? Surely. I mean, it's the obvious, bet. So, I like, but then I like the other one we both like, Dorothy Lawrence. I think is a tremendous 8-1 shot.
Shall we have that for the treble or the Trixies then? Shall you have Dorothy Lawrence as your nap this week? Shall we go with that? All right, okay. Dorothy Lawrence for Gary then, Nymphadora for Keith, and I'm going to be a Red Zone Hero. There we go. 9 races covered, along with plenty elsewhere. Always good to find out what you gents are up to at the weekend. Gary, what are the plans this weekend? Sitting down watching the racing, or have you got other plans?
Working.
Working hard?
Working, yeah. In fact, possibly doing Race Day Live on Saturday.
There we go. Okay, so you have to look out for that Race Day Live on Saturday from Gary and Keith. What are your plans this weekend?
I'll swap Gary. I'm plastering a wall.
No swap.
So last week we had Robbie Wilders at a fancy dress party, and Johnny Pearson, who was off to a barbecue, and you gents, one he's working and the other one's plastering a wall. So
well, that's the biggest thing. Lads in their late 20s and lads, the people that are a wee bit older than that, I think, Sam. Have we got pictorial evidence of Robbie at that fancy dress?
We haven't. I'll tell you what, if those watching on YouTube, if this video gets over 100 likes, then I'll request the picture from Robbie and get it put up on screen for next week's podcast. He's going to hate that, but we will find a picture. I think he went as Paul McCartney. I might get that wrong, but I'm pretty sure. We'll try and find that picture. As always, gents, thank you for joining myself. David Jennings will be back in the hot seat next week. I know James Stevens will be joining him, along with Graham Rodway. So do look out for that. You've got the Newmarket Future Champions weekend, as well as the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe from Longchamp. As always, do subscribe, give the video a like, get your comments in down below, and we will see you again next week for another podcast. Thanks for watching.